Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and, you know, if I wanted to get fucked this hard by a Milton, I would just go to the record store 5 minutes from here. And with me, I have...
I've heard that drinking raw milk makes you dumb. Well, not this dumb. Jesus Christ, some of you people out there. God!
And...
A high reporter, why are you showing talk flips some compassion when you don't do that shit for him? I'm so sorry, but y'all are like, hang in there, buddy. Like, really? Like, you're just gonna after Joker 2 flop because you see what that nobody wanted, but yet.
Yeah.
But yet when it comes to like in the past, you got the rest of like, the rest of films like the Chloe Zhao and the cause of the Marvels, everybody shit on them. A lot, especially y'all, but not your sure except for Todd Phillips.
Yeah.
Why?
That sounds about white. I mean, right?
No more Joker discourse. I'm officially calling a moratorium on all Joker discourse until it stops being annoying. Just, ugh. I do not care for these Joker takes.
I'll just throw this one out. The first movie was like the original Hummer H2. It was always bad.
Oh, God. You just had to remind me those things existed.
Yeah. Those things were always bad and cheap.
Yeah. And also, you better not blame Lady Gaga for this shit, because from what I heard, she's barely in the movie, and she barely sang. You have a musical, you hire a singer in there, you don't have her sing.
Well, at least there was that album that we'll talk about next week, because...
Yeah! So, that escalated quickly. Like, I was looking at the... It was already, like, kind of overcast and, like, pouring down pretty consistently on Sunday. Like, and the weather said it was already going to be, like, Category 2, 3... It escalated to a 5. What the fuck?
Warmth plus drop the pressure equals boom. That's how that works.
I hate it here. If it wasn't for the fact that I have friends that lived here, I would just leave. So, yeah, I might have jumped the gun a little bit, but you obviously got to be like aware of the weather and cautious and prepared. Even if it interfered with my weekend plans a little bit. But that's neither here nor there. Here we are, episode 367. So, have things been at least going okay on y'all's end?
On my end, yes. The recovery process in the western half of my state is still ongoing. Albeit a bit slowly, thanks to some people. You know who you are, Mike. Three more months, and somebody new will be in that seat. Let's just bide our time. But as for my area, again, I'm fine. I'm still fine, relatively speaking anyway. I decided to go out to the movies after a particularly long week in which I get called in on my day off going, hey, can you come in? we had to fire a couple people because issues.
Oh, no, that's you.
Yeah. But at least I was able to get Saturday off after I sprained my ankle.
Oh.
Yeah. I do a lot of walking from my job, but I'm better. You know, slowly but surely, I'm better. And I went to a movie over the weekend. I went and saw Look Back.
Oh, hey, the movie that I wanted to see but couldn't because reasons.
Well, maybe G-Kids will keep it in theaters for a little while longer because the demand is clearly there. It was a packed house, unlike certain other movies that lost the plot. And yes, Look Back is fantastic. It deserves more eyeballs and more money. So, you know, keep counting your theaters to get it in the theaters.
Please.
Words are hard, okay?
I have a mighty need.
Yes, it was very good.
Anything else, sir?
No, that's about it. Most of my work week has just been working and spraining my ankle.
Okay, fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Well, my weeks are pretty good. Like, of course, as I mentioned last week, I just turned 34. And my birthday week, whatever. I mean, it's been all right. Like, remember on a day, I ended up, I ended up watching the premiere of Thunderdawn 3 times. No, really. I watched it on three times on 3 different services, just to see some differences, which by the way, on the dub, like, they list Hulu, the next Hulu does list the dub cast. Crunchyroll does it, but, yeah, well, whatever. That shit's good.
One of us.
Yes, I will co-sign that. If you're like me and you watch shows with captions on because of reasons, watch it on Hulu. That's your best option.
Yeah, if one gotta get Hulu, it's the best option for me. Anyway, aside from that, and do all the anime season watches. I remember this place called Bluefin is a hibachi place around here, and we get to see one of those, like, you know, one of those, you know, we have to see, you know, as we see them cook, and it's a good show. Like, it's a good show. I even had a pick out the first a Japanese beer, Ashi Super Dry. I had to deal with that. I had to do it, like,
we know who we are as people.
Now eat this cutlet bowl. I said eat the cutlet.
It's been a good birthday and all, which, I'm glad I had that. And, just having, some days off, which is still good. Yeah.
Cool. As for me, well, like I said, my weekend plans were shot because of the weather. But in the meantime, since we've now rolled over into the spooky season, I have been trying to watch a few horror movies here and there. So, here's a brief rundown real quick. Slaughterhouse. Really fucking boring. Doesn't even really work as far as, like, the so bad it's good comedy vibe that it's intentionally going for. Unfriended. Shockingly pretty good. I skipped out on it when it first came out because it looked kind of trendy to me, but they actually make that whole, like, you know, computer screen Skype chat gimmick work way more than I was expecting. Creep. Want to respect the attempt for being, like, a found footage psychological horror thing with only 2 actors in it, but it's just kind of corny. Plus, also, I couldn't help but get distracted whenever I realized that the main guy in the movie is also one of the dudes from The League. And no, not John Lajoie. And what else? I finally pulled the trigger on watching the first Paranormal Activity. Why did we make this a thing?
I don't know.
Because money, that's why.
It's super cheap.
Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't hate it or anything. I was just really bored. Although, all of a sudden, Martin Thomas's rant during Spill.com's Worst of 2009 makes so much more sense to me. Let it be known that that recording is peak podcasting right there. And not really much else of anything, so... Oh, wait, there was one thing. So, I've been playing this, video game called Inscription, which is kind of like this meta game within a game thing where you're kind of navigating the ins and outs of, like, this digital card game type of thing. Have you ever played stuff like Pony Island? It's by the same guy. And there was a moment in there that really threw me off guard, because you, at a certain point, you encounter, like, a boss-type enemy whose thing is, like, connecting to the internet. And it's able to read your friend list and then throw cards onto the field where their insignias and, like, their profile information and stuff. which is how I wound up getting my ass kicked in the very first round of this battle with a card that looked like Alex.
What?
Huh?
Yeah, I was playing on my PS5 and it read my friends list. And it just threw out an Alex card.
Okay, then. That's... okay.
The moral of the story is that video games are very weird.
Yeah. Although, in my case... guess what I'm doing all week? Sparking Zero, bitches!
Oh, God, fuck right, that's...
yeah, I went all in on that and got everything.
Damn it, if only I wasn't worried about the weather, I would be all over that shit. But, anyway, that about does it for the formality, so now we can jump into the usual business that, of course, starts with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes, mark your calendars for any new albums we bring up, all that jazz. So, looking ahead to the first track here, as we all know, singer Autre Nouveau is dropping their first new album in a decade, Love Guess Who, on November 1st. And we have the latest single from the album, Itchy Blood, featuring guest vocals by Jessica Zambri. And first of all, this music video is very fucking weird. The whole thing's built around a lot of abortion imagery with, like, or I guess just pregnancy imagery, with Autre in particular, like, dressed as, like, this gigantic fetus in a makeshift womb set and then, like, heading out into the real world. It's a fucking weird video. But the song itself is pretty solid. It's got, it stands out a bit more in the soundscapes compared to the previous single we heard, just because of, like, the specific tone of the synths, a lot of, like, the subtle bassy reverberations, all that kind of stuff. And the way that all these various sounds are kind of layered together creates this weird sort of eerie serenity to it. Not much to say, but I kind of dig this one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as I said, yeah, I think this one, this was kind of okay to me. Like, I really don't have much to say about this one, but like, yeah, it's, I mean, it's like we on part of the last one I heard from me from, but yeah, it's pretty alright.
Alright, and now moving on to the next track here. Looks like we got a new one-off jam here, courtesy of the lads in Soilwork. Though, notably, it brings with it the announcement of a little bit of a lineup change, as Simon Johansson, who is the longtime live guitarist for the band for years, is now permanently part of the band, so congratulations on that promotion, sir. Anyway, for this single here, it's a song called Spirit of No Return, and it's pretty damn solid, gives us a pretty nice thrashy riff in the beginning that ultimately becomes the basis for the verses. Plenty of energy, that really nice, very satisfying guitar tones. The chorus has exactly the kind of really nice soaring melodies you'd want out of, like, the contemporary era of the band, with Bjorn Strid's vocals bouncing back and forth between that rough grit and those soaring melodic highs. A really nice guitar solo in there. The whole song kind of has, like, this sort of feeling of triumphance in the face of adversity, and it certainly feels like it, so congratulations on the solid jam.
Yeah, I'm all in for a good fix of melodic death metal, and these guys never let me down with that. And this, although this is much more melodic and less death-y, it's got some pretty wide key changes to it as well, but, you know, I'm always in for what these guys have got.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe there might be a new album on the horizon?
We'll have to wait and see. You never know.
But speaking of new albums on the horizon, as in the horizon of next year, yeah, Lacuna Coil's still a thing. I forget about that sometimes. So they've officially announced that February 14th, Valentine's Day 2025, is the release date for their newly announced album, Sleepless Empire. And we have the lead-off single from the album here called Oxygen. And, I mean, instrumentally, the song is a pretty typical, like, fast-paced, sort of groovy metalcore chugfest. Some vaguely eerie melodic tremolos over top, and I'll give it this, the main riff that pops up, like, kind of between the chorus and verses, that much is, like, alright, I suppose. It had, like, it got me kind of wanting to mosh a little bit, but vocally, though, I'm gonna be honest, I kind of hate how Christina sounds on this. Like, hear me out. Okay, her performance on its own is solid. Like, if you've heard any Lacuna Coil, it's not going to surprise you too much. It sounds like how you'd expect. I'm just not fond of whatever production they're doing on her voice. Like, there are several segments where it just kind of seems like they're throwing, like, weird filters and stuff on top of it that's just kind of like drowning out the appeal of her own natural singing voice and stuff. It's just not my thing. And the song as a whole just kind of it's fine. It's whatever. But, eh.
Yeah, I get it. It's been that way for a while, especially on the last album. We've come a long way from Karma Code, unfortunately. So, do you know what modern day Lacuna Coil sounds like? You've got Andre's low growls, Christina's wide melodic vocal range, some beefy low tune riffs and solid drum beats, adding a halftime chorus and breakdown in the bridge. You cap it off with a stripped down orchestral build to the final chorus, and there you go. Which is to say, I like it, but it's more out of familiarity. Like a good cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah. But then you get served a bad cup of coffee, and you summon aliens to destroy all of humanity.
And sometimes they want your banana organs.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Anyway, Mark, you want to take over for the next couple of tracks on the docket?
All right, so, all right, next up we got is Jed. Now, Jed, he's a good rapper. Great rapper. You know, who 2 years ago got one of the best albums of the year being The Forever Story. Oh, I got that right. And one thing that questions about JID is that you just keep clapping with people you know get better than. I mean, this year you're clapping with Eminem and then with Katy Perry. Mm. Which, I mean, it's gonna check. I mean, if it's that, then okay. But, okay, anyway, he had no loosies for us today, which, well, it's a freestyle. It's called 31 Freestyle, which is actually, well, you know, a sequel to his previous freestyles, 30 and 29. Which, I don't know what it means. I mean, I don't know what it means if he's talking about his age. I mean, he's about the same age as me, sort of. So, yeah, I mean, I will say this, the beat is good, was produced by somebody named Hollywood Cole, different one. He's putting some good bars here. He got bars like, a plus speed on language of drugs is jaw dropping, block in feeling like a pocket, it's the apocalypse. Place your top on the archive based on your rap guys finding rapper. Southern rap guys find a rapper dick to ride. Bunch of sperm bank workers and y'all drinking on the job. Oh God, trying to offer them ties for a peace of mind, but now I gotta grab my piece for a nigga try leave it a peace of mind. Which okay. He's definitely he's taking him good here, and I'll say good here. Which all right, it's a little freestyle. I can dig this shit.
Yeah, not too much to add. Jid still got the fucking fire, man.
Yeah. All right. Next up, we have Ferg or ASAP. I don't know what we call him anymore. Like, they'll call him Ferg now. I mean, I know it's either just Ferg or whatever or ASAP. Whatever. Like, he's been teasing the album for a while because he was to have something called his name. Daryl or the role that's his name or some shit, and I mean all I have is just some Uzis the old guy, and well you got some word that well we don't for that thing he came back up again with Future again, and Michael made it even though he's a producer on here he's credited as well just because you know Michael waited you remember him Eardrummers
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, the check is called Allure, which okay, and it's for ASAP, he's trying to bring energy, and this is well, it ain't that. I mean, the last time like an ASAP for the Future song when it came together was New Level, and I love that song. Hell, I use that song as a wake up alarm. I actually do use it as a wake up alarm because why not? This one is just I don't know, just, I mean, Gibbous Microwave is like, it's just more, you know, I want to say, well, kind of low energy, maybe low energy is like, I mean, ASAP Rock sounds fine. Future is future. I mean, Future's future. I mean, look, this year we really have gone soft on Future. I mean, he's still Future. I really don't have much to say on this track. It's like, it's the same basic flexing track. And I mean, for what it is, it's very meh. For what it is, it's very meh. It's what I'm going with.
It is one of the songs of all time. And I mean, granted, Ferg does have more presence here than Future, but that's not really saying much.
Yeah. Again, that's all I can buy except for like the man gets you hype. I mean, he tried his best though.
Yeah, he did try.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to the last track here. So, I'm gonna say this as someone who used to be really into this band, liked them enough to see them live at the very least. The continued existence of Coheed and Cambria in the year of our Lord 2024 kind of baffles me, to be honest. It's kind of like if you told someone that Family Guy was still airing new episodes on television to this day, you'd be like, wait, no, hold up. Are you fucking serious? Fucking how? Like, I mean, I don't think you're lying, but like, what is going on here? Though, to be fair, nothing Coheed and Cambria has done has been anywhere near as atrocious as a late period Family Guy. I might have sat through that one Ellis Mark video where he tormented himself with every Family Guy episode.
Oh boy.
Anyway, but getting back on topic, it looks like Coheed and Cambria is gearing up for whatever the next installment of the Amory Wars saga even is. We don't have word of what the album will be titled, or even if it's coming out anytime soon. We just have a new single here called Blindside Sunny. The Sunny in question, I assume, refers to an antagonistic figure in the story, possibly the weird masked individual in the video, and... okay, maybe it's because I'm sort of grading on a curve here with low expectations, but this is probably the most I've liked a Coheed and Cambria single in ages. And it's not like it's really anything that special at the end of the day. It's a pretty typical, like, high-energy rock jam. Pretty typical of what I think would probably get some traction on, like, I don't know, one of the rock radio stations, or maybe, like, the Sirius stations or something. But at least I didn't feel like turning it off, or I wasn't bored with it. I could nod my head to this. It's got a decent energy. It's kind of fun from a certain angle. So, I don't know, C+? I mean, that's more than a C-. I'll give it that.
It helps that it's only 2.5 minutes long.
That also helps.
Yeah. And yeah, it looks like Claudio here has been listening to Idols based on what this sounds like to me. Also, what the hell is he doing with his voice on this?
Is he doing anything? That's honestly just what he kind of always sounded like to me.
Very scratchy, screamy, grunty.
I don't know. Maybe it's just an age thing. He is old, as the kids would say.
Yeah, and what's up with the supposed narrative concept that they're doing this time with the guy with the weird glasses, like... is any of this going to make sense in the next 3 installments?
Fuck if I know, man.
Smart money says no.
Yeah. But that'll about do it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick little break, and when we come back, we have some news to discuss, so stay tuned. We're back. So first up on the news docket is a lawsuit. This coming from, well, we're reading from Pitchfork by Jazz Monroe. Looks like Miss Lauren Hill is on the receiving end of a lawsuit by none other than Praz. Filed in a New York federal court. Looks like this lawsuit blames Miss Hill for a whole lot of shit related to some Fuji's tour dates that wound up getting canceled. And apparently Praz is kind of legally in the red himself too, but that's neither here nor there. Though maybe it is, because right here we're looking at like the opening paragraph of the lawsuit, and it reads like this. Betrayals are always sinister, but the closer the betrayer, the greater the evil. Some say that God gives you friends to make up for your family. The Lord must have been off the day he paired Lauren Hill with Wyclef Jean and Praz Michael, the plaintiff in this action, because the betrayal among the forged Fuji's family has risen to mythic proportions. This is their tale of woe. I'm sorry, is this a lawsuit or the opening to a Dungeons and Dragons campaign? What the fuck?
Like, what the hell is that? Like,
Law and Order, D&D.
Yeah, just, what the f- that is, well, that's a new one for me.
Law and Order Hip Hop Division. And who knows, you can be my iced tea in there too.
I have never seen a lawsuit whose opening looks like the recap at the beginning of every episode of a long-running anime series. But yeah, of course, from there, Praz makes a myriad of accusations against Lauren Hill, including things like fraud, breach of fiduciary duty, breach of contract, improper accounting, unjust enrichment, and refusal to permit a tour audit. He's trying to get the case to a jury fucking trial. A whole lot of accusations of arrogance. In particular, probably the biggest thing is that Praz and his lawyers allege that she, quote, unilaterally rejected a $5 million offer for the Fugees to perform at Coachella this past year because she wanted to be top billed above No Doubt, and they wouldn't let that happen.
Oh boy.
He says he only learned when Hill, quote, in an astonishing display of hubris, asked him to play Fuji songs for free as an opener at the festival for YG Marley, her son. He even claims that he came away empty-handed from their sold-out 2023 arena tour, blaming her for all kinds of financial bullshit, taking 40% of the fucking net profits of the tour from the top, before having to split the remaining 60 between, you know, her, Praz, and Wyclef Jean. Yeah, just a lot of weird stuff going on. Fuck, Oh, right, there was a fucking... Praz dropped a diss track. I almost forgot about that. Well, like, he dropped a diss track back in August called Bar Mitzvah. I think I might have had that on the docket or took... but had to take it off for some reason. Jesus.
I don't remember that. Okay. I think I'm going to say that, yeah, the Fugees are never getting back together.
No.
Especially, which, we know they ain't getting back together, and he's talking about, like, tours, and comes Lauren Hill, who is now known for being notoriously late.
Yeah.
And not to mention, I forgot that. Was Praz looking for the fans one time?
Wait, what the I think I remember. Fuck, who even knows anymore?
Like, I remember us hearing that one time, like, mostly, I think, yeah, it's just everybody from the Fugees is dismissive in their own way. Even Wyclef with what the fuck he did. It's been a long time. Like, yeah, this is, yeah, it's, gonna, yeah, it's just gonna get, you know, worse.
Yeah. And I'm not even sure if we have time to get into the statement that Lauren shared with Pitchfork. But
there's a lot.
Yeah. Oh. So she literally shared like a list. It was basically like 7 facts about the entire situation. Just some clarity and facts need to be presented. I've been silent and pushing through because I understood that Praz was under duress because of his legal battles and that this was perhaps affecting his judgment, state of mind, and character. This baseless lawsuit by Praz is full of false claims and unwarranted attacks. Notably admits that he was advanced overpayment for the last tour and failed to repay loans extended by myself as an act of goodwill. Last tour was put together to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the miseducation of Lauren Hill, planned whether the Fugees were involved or not. It was expanded to incorporate the Fugees because I found out that Praz was in trouble and would need money to aid his legal defense. given a $3 million advance for the tour, which she said was required to pay the legal fees. Herself and Wyclef deferred their full advances to make sure he had what he needed and was able to go. She covered most of the tour expenses, as the majority of the tour advance had gone to Praz. An agreement was put in place to secure the repayment of the money he was advanced. Praz has not paid back the money he was advanced and is in breach of this agreement. So that's the first three facts. Fact four, because my tour band production and setup were already happening, the Fuji set utilized the same production. I absorbed most of the expenses myself, produced the show, put together the entire set. Praz basically just had to show up and perform. Fact five, as of the last tour, Praz thanked me for, quote, saving his life, parentheses, I have the receipts. Okay then. Fact number six, I am not in the business of kicking anyone, especially when they're down, which is why I hadn't responded to date. It's absolutely disheartening to see Praz in this position, my bandmate and someone I considered a friend, but this leads us to fact number seven, which probably should have been fact number one. I was not in Praz's life when he decided to make the unfortunate decision that led to his current legal troubles. I did not advise that he make that decision, and therefore I'm in no way responsible for his decision and its consequences, though I have taken it upon myself to help. Despite his attacks, I am still compassionate and hope things work out for him. Respectfully, MLH. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure we have time to dig into all that.
Yeah.
I guess we'll just have to wait for whatever else comes out from all of these legal woes. I'm sure there will be writing about it.
And there are some wolves.
Ugh. So, let's move on from legal troubles to festival fuckery. One of my favorite genres that we cover on this podcast. So, have any of you heard of this thing called the Shell Shock Metal Festival? I haven't until this week.
No,
I haven't.
So, this festival was set to be held October 19th in Orlando, Florida. It billed itself as a kind of charity event that, quote, supports first responders struggling with injuries to include post-traumatic stress disorder. And okay, fair enough. I can see that being an admirable trait. That's a shitty thing to deal with. But it appears that the festival has been going through a lot of trouble with a whole fuckload of bands dropping off. Several performers like Southpaw, Let Me Bleed, American Hollow, and even one of the main headliners, in fact, I think the main headliner, the metalcore band Evergreen Terrace. And yes, that is a Simpsons reference.
Oh, okay, so what's the deal here? Because we've heard a lot of shady stories about would-be festivals. Like, was there an issue with the pay? Did someone not get a permit? Did the organizer fuck around with an intern behind everyone's back and they're trying to cover up their asses before shit gets leaked out? What's going on here?
Well, this is going to sound like I'm just pulling it out of left field, but I assure you this is 100% real. The festival organizers invited that dipshit Kyle Rittenhouse.
Oh, but the
what?
Him?
Yes. Man who, well, I say man very loosely, he's a fucking bitch. The bitch who, at the age of 17, shot three people during a protest in Kenosha, Wisconsin, claiming self-defense, even though anybody with half a working brain can tell you that defense is complete and total bullshit. Notably, he still has two civil lawsuits pending against him, and, you know, we've all seen the memes of him being a little crybaby bitch in the middle of the court because he fucking knows what he did. And then, of course, there was that whole weird escapade, like, earlier this year where he made the mistake of speaking up against the God King Emperor Donald Trump, and thus everyone responded by, you know, getting really weird about trans stuff, because that's all the far right can do anymore is get weirdly obsessive about trans bullshit. Something leopards eating people's faces party.
Ugh, good lord.
So, yeah, they decided to invite this fucking overaged abortion of a person. And when Evergreen Terrace found out, they dropped and released the following statement. Quote, Evergreen Terrace has always supported and continues to support philanthropic events for veterans, PTSD awareness, child poverty, and many more. But we will not align with an event promoting a perceived murderer such as Kyle Rittenhouse. Okay, kind of generous calling him a perceived murderer. We know he fucking did it, but whatever. capitalizing off of their pseudo-celebrity. Unfortunately, we did not do our due diligence with this particular event. Even after they offered to pull Khan from the event, we discovered several associated entities that we simply do not agree with. As advocates of free speech, we are respectfully canceling the Shell Shock Festival. We will be personally contributing to a veterans charity and urge you to do the same. The promoters have been nothing less than understanding.
So, what does one have to do with the other?
I don't know!
That's where I'm getting confused here. If this is meant to be a charity event for first responders, why the fuck are you inviting this guy?
We're gonna get to that in a second. There technically is a reason that you can infer from reading between the lines. But first of all, some of the other details. So, Evergreen Terrace are organizing their own show in Orlando, saying, quote, "Orlando, we will be seeing you soon. We are currently organizing a show with the bands that dropped off the Shell Shock Fest after being blindsided. All of Evergreen's proceeds will go to an associated veterans organization. Update soon. We play shows, not rallies." And yeah, some of the other bands that dropped off, like I said, include the likes of Southpaw, Let Me Bleed, and American Hollow. Southpaw themselves said, "We knew going into this that the festival was veteran-based, which we support, but knew nothing of a particular individual being a main focus of support for the show until after accepting it. Due to events that have taken place and drama surrounding this particular individual, we made the decision to respectfully step down." And now we get to the, why did they invite Kyle Rittenhouse? Well, one of the organizers of the Shell Shock Festival was something called the Anti-Hero Podcast.
And
when they got news of this, they issued the following words in response. "We have been silent, but we are prepping. The liberal mob attempt..." Oh, wait, hang on. Sorry, I forgot. I gotta do the right voice for this. Mm-mm.
Oh, God.
"The liberal mob attempted to destroy Shell Shock, but we will not allow it. This is now about more than a concert. This is a war of ideology. A blue, blue, blue. Oh. I've never made my wife come before."
Oh, God.
So, at what point does that involve hiring a Slipknot cover band to be the headliner?
Oh, yeah. That's
I am so unbelievably confused at everything here. Like,
they hired
Are we sure that this isn't like a front for something? Is this meant to just serve as like financing for somebody's ketamine addiction?
Oh, God. Just, yeah, some band called SIC, you know, sick in context, fucking, they're the new headliner, sure. We have Slipknot at home. Slipknot at home.
You know, I'm
literally.
Do you know what I'm surprised at? I'm surprised they didn't put fucking Trap on there.
Nah, they're too busy playing at, like, dive bar restaurants for 10 people who aren't paying attention to them.
So basically, you want to Kid Rock's places?
These people are very sad. Like, nobody willingly listens to Traps. They just hear that one song on the radio and they go, "Oh, gotta change the channel." Click.
Yeah, just, oh, Lord. This is so close to being like an Always Sunny in Philadelphia storyline. This close. But, oh my fucking God. So, yeah, that was the lulls, as it were. But...
the LeMows, even.
That too. But, for now, we have one last thing to touch on here. And maybe this might take a bit of time, maybe it won't, but it looks like we have a list on our hands, people. Once again, a list meant to generate discourse for the sake of the music content industry. This one sees us going back over to Pitchfork.com, who decided to drop a mid-decade list, the 100 best albums of the 2020s so far.
Yeah, oh yeah, it has been, well, we are year 5 in the 2020s.
God, remember how the 2020s started? with the entire world shutting down because of fucking swamp ass. It's been an interesting is maybe the wrong word. I don't know. But let's actually get into this list proper. If I hazard a guess, because I actually haven't looked at this list in full yet. There's a pretty good chance, knowing Pitchfork, a lot of this is going to be like, who are you people? Or, huh, I skipped out on that. Or, really? You? So,
there's going to be a lot of that.
So, I'm just going to take it, bit by bit. So, let's start. Number 100. Jades with Heart Pacing. Released in 2022. Apparently, he's from Broward County, Florida, I think. And kind of follows a similar vein to rappers like Ski Mask the Slump God and Kodak Black and Triple X Tentacion. Okay, moving on. Number 99, DJ Travella with Mr. Mixondo. Don't know this one. I do like the album art, though. It looks like some really gross Nosferatu fan art.
It looks like something on Adult Swim, singles track.
Hell yeah. Anyway, moving on. Number 98, an album from this year. Vampire Weekend, Only God Was Above Us. I do not get Vampire Weekend at all.
Oh yeah, that's right. They're still around.
I'm just gonna say it. I do not get them. Number 97, Jamie Branch with Fly or Die, Fly or Die, Fly or Die, parentheses, World War from 2023.
Birds.
Yeah, the birds.
And
burbs.
Unfortunately, it looks like Jamie Branch sadly died at 39 a few weeks after the album was recorded. That's very unfortunate.
Damn.
Anyway, number 96, also from 2023, No Name with Sundial.
Hey, something I do recognize. Which, I like the album. I liked it. I mean, the controversy aspect that she did, that she had Jay Electronica do a verse on there. You know that guy? Remember him?
I would like to not remember him.
Yeah.
Anyway, number 95. Oh, hell yeah. We're squarely in my domain now, motherfuckers. Blood Incantation, Hidden History of the Human Race. The kind of metal that's just galaxy-brained, in a good way, of course. But this album says it came out in 2029. Oh, so we're counting that as part of the decade?
2019 is apparently part of the 2020s, according to Pitchfork.
I don't know, I guess because, I could see the logic of maybe this was I'm trying to remember if it was a November 2019 release or a December 2019 release. Because at that point, you might as well roll it over into the next calendar year. I understand that logic.
Yeah.
November 2019.
Okay, that makes sense
to me. Number 94. Mark, I'm going to need you to say this one.
yeah, I'm going to say this one. So is, Jim Legacy, Homeless Nigga Pop Music. So, okay. Apparently, from what I guess the truth is, in a post-Blonde world, which I'm guessing he's a mix of Frank Ocean to, I'm guessing, David Scott Walter says, Jai Paul, remember him, and them, and Apex Twin? Which, I heard him before, he's actually a feature artist on an album that I'm actually listening to, actually doing whatever around them, but yeah, it's what I get, he is a, I guess he's a, UK producer, which I'm guessing he has, guitar, Afro drumming, Afro beats, and Martin, basically, basically, he's one of those type of artists, from what I gathered.
Alright, makes sense. Number 93, Daphne with Cherry. No clue who that is.
Okay, and
number
apparently it's my name, Dan?
Okay. Anyway, number 92, Tyler the Creator, Call Me If You Get Lost.
Finally, something we all know.
Yeah.
Interesting choice. I liked it when I heard it. I'll still stand for it. I'm not sure it's on the, like, super high end of Tyler albums for me personally, but honestly, still holds together.
I'll say it's a bigger album. Like, I don't know what place it high on Tyler's soccer feed, but yeah, it still holds up.
Moving on to number 91, MKG Two Star in the Dream Police from this year. Never listened to Okey DJ. Doke. Never listened to. Fuck, why did I say DJ? MKG, so no idea.
Okay.
Number 90, Huerco S with Plonk. Which, that just sounds like a forgotten PS1 mascot platformer. Plonk.
Plonk, PS1, on PlayStation.
Anyway, moving on. Number 89, Dijon with Absolutely. And I'm assuming this has absolutely no relation to DJ Mustard.
No, but that does pose the possibility for what could be the greatest collaboration album in history. Dijon Mustard.
Make it happen, people.
Laugh at my stupid jokes, people.
Laugh!
Yes. Laugh!
Lauga! Anyway, number 88, Nala Sinefro with Space 1.8. No clue who
you
that
like
is.
Jazz?
I do like jazz. So I might have to listen to that at some point. Number 87 from this year, Mannequin Pussy with I Got Heaven. Haven't listened to it yet. Number 86, Ken Carson, A Great Chaos.
Oh yeah, I think he's one of those rage rappers. Wait, no, he signed the Opium Playboy Cardi's label. Which, yeah, that makes sense.
Number 85, Hooray for the Riff Raff, The Past is Still Alive, from this year. Apparently this is some kind of folk rock thing? I don't know, I haven't listened to their stuff. Number 84, The Soft Pink Truth, Shall We Go On Sinning So That Grace May Increase? That is an album title. Not gonna lie, I kind of dig the poeticness of that title. Number 83, Kaya, Forever Ya Girl.
Okay. That's something that I would probably check out, but that haven't happened. But, I mean, or it's supposed to do like six that Neo Soul sounds, which is not something that I would tap into, but, you know. Okay.
Number 82, KMRU with Peel, which came out in the year that was and the year that wasn't. And honestly, that band name just sounds like a radio station. You are now listening to KMRU. Number 81, Destroyer, Have We Met? One of these days I need to actually sit down and listen to Destroyer's music. Like, I know they were in rotation at the station when I worked there, but I'm not sure I really internalized their stuff. RX Poppy at number 80. Oh, wait, actually, yeah, at number 80, it's RX Poppy / Good with Foreign Exchange. And that definitely looks like a New York Yankees logo.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
Fair enough. Number 79, Haim, Women in Music Part 3. I gotta be honest, Haim is just okay to me. Like, I get their appeal, but they never really did it for me in the same way they do it for, like, you know, all the other Pitchfork nerds.
I just remember that the first time I got some, they were in the Thundercat video with Dragon Ball Durag. They were the girls near the end where one of them said, "Ooh, you look kind of fine," and the other said, "No, keep him the fuck." And I think one was in a movie with Philip Seymour Hoffman's kid.
I'm gonna have to stick a pin in there for later. Number 78, Lil Uzi Vert, Eternal and Take. Get the fuck out of here!
Okay.
This was an album. That's all we can say about it.
Fuck, I would have rather they put the fucking paint tape on there. At least that shit was memorable.
It was released during the plague.
Yeah. So our stance is we much rather prefer Baby Metal collaborations and Bad System of a Down karaoke over Alien concept album stuff.
And also I think you sampled that pinball game that used to be on computers way back.
Got it. You know, all I'm saying is, if JPEG Mafia did something like that, he would at least make it memorable.
Yeah.
Anyway, number 77, Yule, Y-E-U-L-E, with Glitch Princess.
I
don't. Okay, then.
I don't know, that album art kind of makes me want to listen to it. Number 76, High Tech with Detroit.
Okay.
Let me just say the opening sentence of this paragraph. Quote, High Tech's arrival on the club circuit was an ass clapper's fever dream. Great moments in music journalism.
Okay, now that's something. Now that's something I gotta check out now.
Okay, I need to read this other line here. Everyone's invited. Aunties throw it back. Dudes bust out the fleshlights. Even the ops get laid.
Oh.
Don't whip out the fleshlight in front of your aunt. That's just weird. You're scaring the hoes. By the way, I'm going to stick a pin in that because I swear to fucking God if they skip over that.
Oh, yeah.
Number 75. The Smile. A Light for Attracting Attention. Haven't heard this one. Number 74. El Lado Negro with Phasor.
That came from
this year. I haven't listened to it yet.
Oh, yeah, a name that we have heard before, just haven't checked in a while, but okay.
Number 73, Florist, with their fourth self-titled album from 2022. Anyway, number 72, Yaya Bay, Remember Your North Star.
I feel like I should know this, but I don't.
I'm tempted to make a fist of the North Star joke. Anyway. Let's see here. Number 71. Charlotte Adigheri / Bolus Pupil. Topical Dancer.
I don't know.
Number 70. Oh, hey, Alex, look, it's one of your favorite bands. The 1975, being funny in a foreign language.
I give a band one chance, and they blow it so fucking hard.
Number, nice, 69, Soul Glow, Diaspora Problems, Hell to the Fuck Yes.
What do you think albums up that year, Alex? Rob, why did I say Alex? Or, I don't know.
Oh, okay, to be fair, it should be on everyone's radar because Soul Glow absolutely fucks. Like, if you want music that's going to get the adrenaline going and make you run a sledgehammer all around you, fucking beat down someone's ass in a, you know, Wendy's parking lot or something, this is going to do it for you. Anyway, in the exact opposite of beating people down in a fucking parking lot, number 68, Yaiji with a hammer.
They came last year. I remember you talked about it.
Yeah, I dug it quite a bit. And, you know, I only just noticed on the album art that the hammer actually has like a mischievous smiley face on it.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! I see it now.
Anyway, number 67, Taylor Swift with Folklore.
Of course, okay, of course they're going to be on there.
Yep, the start of global domination, to put it lightly.
Yeah. The better or worse.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see. Number 66, Rio the Young OG with City on My Back.
Yeah, I haven't noticed one, but it's like, okay, let me just be Taylor Swift.
Yeah, don't know much about this one either, but moving on to number 65, Jeff Parker, Mondays at the Enfield Tennis Academy. Again, don't really know this one. Number 64, Jenny Havall, Classic Objects. I've heard a bit of Jenny Havall. Mm. I don't remember if I've actually listened to this album or not. Anyway, number 63, Chief Keef, For Nem.
Okay, apparently they type of this like this seriously, right? It says For Nem, it's like a stumbling up, stumbling upon the laboratory in Spy Kids 2. Instead, it's if Steve Buscemi was out the way, Jenny Havall of the mid-2000s and Atlanta Trap and Memphis rap cassettes. Okay.
Do you think God stays in heaven because he too lives in fear of what he's created?
When he's able to make morbid off-the-cuff bars about discolored pee and special attacks from Street Fighter. Okay then, I didn't know that was a thing Chief Keef rapped about.
Okay then. Ugh.
Anyway, number 62, The Microphones with The Microphones in 2020.
Get out of there! Wait,
yeah, not familiar with that one either.
Against The Microphones in 2020, they was at a bad time.
A very bad time. Everybody had number 61, Tirza with Trip 9 Love, ... ... Apparently this one was produced by Michael Levy. Interesting.
That Michael Levy.
Number 60, Mac Hami, Pray for Haiti.
This one I do know, because this is where, I guess, where him and the Griselda Gang squashed that beef, which, okay, that sounds good, and, all right, from what I remember, like, that was an album, but it was kind of good. I mean, I'm glad somebody even squashed that beef.
All right, cool. Number 59, Yasmin Williams with Urban Driftwood. Apparently it's some kind of folk thing, not familiar with it. Number 58, Blade / Echo 2K with Crest. I Blade is one of those artists I hear a lot about, and yet despite that, I still don't know if they're an artist that, having admittingly not listened to them, I'm supposed to think is good or bad. I don't think I've heard consensus on that yet.
Okay, I keep thinking it's pronounced Blade or Bladey, or I don't know. Because it got two E's.
Yeah, it does have that. Number 57, Bjork with Fossora. Interesting. I think I might have been more of a fan of the album that came before that one, just personally speaking, but, you know, Fossora was pretty solid and interesting in its own right. Number 56, Niloufer Yanya with Painless.
No, don't know.
Clue. Number 55, and this is one I've been hearing a lot today, or at least a lot this year on kind of like the music review circuit, MJ Lenderman with Manning Fireworks. And there's this whole weird, like, italicized paragraph here that's just like,
okay, like, what the?
Dad, why is the McDonald's flag at half-mast today? Well, son, it's in honor of the houseboat that sank at the Himbo Dome last year. It's in memory of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which was mowed down by Lightning McQueen in a terrible accident on Christmas Eve. It's to remind us that perfect little babies can grow up to be jerks. Okay. Paragraphs like this make me think that they've never lost that old school pitchfork charm? Question mark? Bro, fucking music is weird. Anyway, number 54, Bill Orcutt, music for four guitars. Four guitars in this economy?
Heavens to Betsy.
Indeed. Number 53, Dua Lipa, Future Nostalgia, which is an appropriate name. You will be nostalgic for this record by the time she drops an underwhelming follow-up.
Yeah.
Anyway, number 52, Bad Bunny, Un Venado Sin Ti.
Oh yeah, this album, which was pretty big, which because this keeps showing. Yeah, it can be maybe like one song, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, can I do this? We get to the next one.
Sure.
Number 51, as my favorite album of that year, The Weeknd, Dawn FM.
Right out of the top 50. Interesting placement.
This album was a grower. It took some time for me, although it did help that after I had my wisdom teeth removed, one of the first things I did when I was able to go outside, drive to Sam's Club, and I had this playing in the car.
This is one of his best projects, like, ever. Like, this is where, like, he got more worried within his music. He got me, or at least more interesting in doing this shit. Like, you got fucking Jim Carrey reducing narration. You got OPN doing some, like, the total production here. Like, it may not be the one that has all the singles in there, all that shit, but this is that perfect album, this is art. This is, I want to say cinema, but I'm not going to do that shit. Yeah, it's art.
Not going to lie, this is kind of why I'm concerned about Hurry Up Tomorrow. Not that I doubt that it'll, like, about whether or not it'll be a good album. I'm sure it will be, but, like, God, Dawn FM, they were cooking so hard on that.
Please don't blow it. We want a perfect trilogy.
All right. Number 50, getting into the top half of the list, Dry Cleaning with New Long Leg. Not familiar with this one.
I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Oh!
Number 49. If you think I'm stupid now, you should see me when I'm high, and I'm smarter than I look. I'm the dumbest girl alive. 100 Gex with 10,000 Gex in my top 5 of 2023. As it should be, because this album fucking slaps. This is a stupid good time. Emphasis on the stupid.
Great closing line here. 10,000 Gex is a thesis statement for 100 Gex's absurdist blend of pop history and pure id. I'd say they'd graduated summa cum laude from the University of Mallrats if I wasn't certain that they'd turn it into a joke about ejaculate.
That's going to be the opening lyric on 100,000 Gex.
Oh, God.
Now I just want to re-listen to that album. You'll never make it in Hollywood, baby. Anyway, number 48, Dean Blunt with Black Metal 2. I'm going to assume this is not Black Metal, possibly. Maybe it's an ironic name, who knows? Number 47, Sofia Cortesis with Madres. Again, not familiar with this one. Apparently she's a Peruvian producer. So, number 46, Kim Gordon, no home record. Never listened to Kim Gordon much, whether solo or like the Sonic Youth days. Sudan Archives at number 45 with Natural Brown Prom Queen. Another one of those acts that's always kind of been on like my periphery, but I never really dived in deep into them.
I want to keep your things. Well, this is all I got.
Fair enough. Moving on, number 44, Phoebe Bridgers with Punisher. I kind of like this one. It didn't really hit for me the same way everyone else did, but I thought there was some interesting stuff to like in there. Number 43, ooh, this is an artist that I actually binged in the past year, because they dropped a new album, Emdo Mokhtar with Afrique Victime. This, of course, being the Tuareg Saharan guitarist, you know, the one that got, like, a lot of early buzz from, like, Africa, like, their mobile phone music sharing networks and all that. And honestly, if you're looking for some really, like, just, like, dynamic as hell, like, explosive personality feel guitar playing, hell yeah, Mokhtar's fucking got it on lock, you know? Number 42, Eve's Tumor. Heaven to a Tortured Mind. An interesting turning point right around the time where Eve started going from, like, kind of ambient and kind of noise stuff to basically being, like, a glam noise fusion. Like, Prince with way more distortion, essentially. Kerosene is still a fucking banger, dude.
Yeah, it's like a... Now, I would say, I don't know, I wouldn't think of something, but, like, I want to say if Prince meets Aphex Twin, but that'll make sense. Or does it? I don't know.
I'm sure from a certain angle it probably does. All I know is it's a Tumor's world and we're all living in it. Number 41, Arooj Aftab with Vulture Prince. Again, always heard of this artist. I've never actually listened to their stuff before.
I want to say, I heard the name before, I think, or I'm thinking of somebody else. I don't know.
Anyway, moving on. Number 40, Perfume Genius. Set My Heart on Fire Immediately. Okay, shit, I don't have a match. Anyway. Number 39, Anony and the Johnsons. My Back Was a Bridge for You to Cross.
Oh, shit, that was last year.
Yeah, because I actually don't remember if I... Because I know I've listened to a bit of Anony music before. I don't know... I can't remember if I listened to this record. I don't think I did.
I mean, all I know is the one I'm listening to is the one that you recommended me to listen to. Which I probably should have had on my list way back then, because, I don't know, like, I was starting now. I didn't know what to do then, but now thinking about it, yeah, I probably should have added that on my list. That the one album.
Yeah. Anyway, at number 38, we have Faye Webster with I Know I'm Funny, haha. Oop. Haha, indeed. Okay. I don't know, okay, I haven't listened to this one.
Apparently she's at least working with alt rap label Awful. Wait, hold up. I know that label. I know it's that one rapper who that on a label. I think his name is Father, like. Okay, which, I mean, all right, you know what, never mind, just...
Anyway, moving on, number 37, 454 with Fast Tracks 3.
It looks like a PlayStation 2 game.
It certainly does, like, does anybody remember that one year when the AVGN did, like, the 25 Days of Shitsmas with the fucking bad video game cover art. This kind of reminds me of that. Anyway, number 36, Kalayla with Raven.
A name I heard so many times, at least I mostly hear on features, but never bothered to check out their, you know, their own catalog, which to me, I mean, yeah, it's there.
Number 35, Fever Ray with Radical Romantics. Not familiar with this one. Number 34, Jockstrap. I love you, Jennifer B.
Who's the B?
I don't know, but if you're out there somewhere, apparently Jockstrap loves you. Number 33, Jane Remover with Frailty. Number 32, Wednesday with Rat Saw God. Now, this is an interesting one because from what I remember, this one was ranking very, very high on a lot of the year-end lists for 2023. I even know it was number one on like one of the major blogs. I forget if it was either Stereo Gum or Pitchfork. But I did listen to it, and it was this very like interesting combination of kind of like, you know, contemporary indie rock, country, shoegaze, like even some 90s grunge elements in there. All definitely sounding like the kind of music you would listen to from a band from Asheville. So take that as you will.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to listen to their back catalog afterwards. I think I might like some of that stuff as well. Number 31, Jessica Pratt, Here in the Pitch.
Oh, yeah, a name that I found out a couple weeks ago.
No. Yeah, I've never listened to her stuff. Yeah. Number 30, Lorraine with Fatigue. Yeah. Number 29, Turnstile with Glow On. So, I'm trying to remember which one this was, because I know Turnstile's been doing some more experimental stuff in, like, the 2020s and all, sort of trying to add more nuance beyond their aggressively positive hardcore slant, and I've pretty much made peace with the fact that, like, their music is never going to be my thing, but I get that it has its place in the broader scheme of, you know, hardcore music, so you know what? Good for them. Number 28, ooh, Kendrick Lamar, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Now we're getting into some meaty territory.
Yeah, I was wondering, not if, but when Kendrick was going to make it. Because you can't just do this without leaving off K-Dot. I mean, do you know what happens when you piss off K-Dot?
You get diss tracks made about you while he go headlines the Super Bowl.
Yeah. But yeah, this was an interesting one. An album that basically tries to unpack kind of his relationship to his art and kind of the perception of him as a messiah figure, despite the fact that he's still just a dude.
Yeah.
It is an intentional deconstruction of the mythos, quote unquote, for better and for worse.
It certainly caution, is. I mean,
yeah, caution, some shit I mean uncomfortable the first few listens. And of course, some can be construed like it can be either A, construed as, oh shit, I've been in it before. Oh shit, I've known this before. And the other being, why the fuck you mean this to death? I thought we cried together.
Fuck you. But yeah, pretty damn great album. Lord knows what happens if he drops another one this decade. Number 27, Asake, with Mr. Money with the Vibe.
Okay.
No clue who that is. Number 26, Jesse Ware with What's Your Pleasure.
Okay, I heard this off before. I think Fantano had this toughest list during that year. If I remember artists like that, because I think this is to her, you know, her falling out, like her next album after this one, which I kind of like, but I mean, it's good, like, you know, basically new disco, semi mobile disco.
Man, you really like saying the word disco, don't you?
Disco.
Some might even say it's a non-stop disco.
Alex, go to the corner.
That's my bit.
Anyway, moving on from there, number 25, Low with Hey What. I remember getting into this band sometime around then. They had a pretty interesting thing going on with a lot of basically elements kind of like experimental electronic, noise, ambient, some post-rock in there. It's definitely an acquired taste, but I do dig the stuff that Low puts out, and this was definitely a pretty solid album. Although, unfortunately, this was the last one recorded with member Mimi Parker, who died of cancer the year after its release.
Ew.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. Anyway, number 24, Alex G., God Save the Animals. Now, just to check, is this a different Alex G. from Sandy Alex G.?
How many Alex G.'s are there? Or Alex's? Where's our Alex?
I don't know. Hey, Alex, has Alex G. been going to the Alex meetings?
Not the last time I've been there, but I don't go there that often because a lot of them are kind of weird.
Yeah, so I've been told. Anyway, number 23, hey, Fantano, you still got any hurt feelings about this one because of how people got unreasonably mad about it?
Oh, yeah.
Sexy Red, Hood Hottest Princess.
Oh, yeah, I remember people getting mad about this because, like, you rated this, but you rated that, which, and it goes to horror, the whole thing, like, sure about sex and all that shit, and why should you read the, I don't give a fuck, like, okay, okay, if I should ask about some shit like this, whatever, it's like, I may be a big fan of it, but I'm not gonna be like, you know, be like that.
Like, here's where I fall on this. Like, I can think of other albums that I would prioritize in terms of, like, my rap bangers of choice. But when I listen to it, it's like, you know, I get why this would be someone's, like, fucking jam. Why this would be, like, someone's record of choice to just throw on at the party and get everyone throwing it back, you know? Like, hell yeah. You do you. See ye, or whatever it was she said. I don't know. It's not worth getting bent out of shape over.
Yeah.
Number 22, Jasmine Sullivan with Ho Tales.
Oh yeah. This one I have known. I think a good album. Which I know. They got a rough edition. I think the following year. Which okay. Yeah. It's a good album. I remember, like, a lot of Jasmine Sullivan stuff, like, even before then. But, yeah.
Number 21, Nourished by Time with Erotic Probiotic 2.
Yeah.
That high, that recently.
Yeah, and I think, I remember checking out the first time I remember hearing one song, like the first song, I'm like, okay, this guy, all right. And I remember the one song, no shit, no fear, but passing away. That song was like, okay, I'm kind of digging this. Yeah.
I only listened to this because it was on like a lot of the year end lists, and honestly, really dug the vibe. Kind of a modernization of a lot of Miami bass, old school 80s, like, pop R&B type stuff, but given a nice modern sheen, and the really weird, very specific vocal delivery and lyrical tone of, Marcus Brown himself, so, good stuff. You know, apparently he produced this whole thing in the basement of his parents' house? Anyway, number 20, Amare with Fountain Baby.
Oh, yeah, that one I have on my list, like, from last year. And, it's a good album. Also very horny. Also, there's some horny shit there, too.
Number 19, Cash Cobain and Chow Lee with Too Slizzy, Too Sexy.
Oh, this is before we knew about him.
Problem. Yeah. And to quote the last line here, After a while, it becomes more than a tape about pussy eating and getting your dick sucked. It's about falling in love in New York. I mean, I'm pretty sure that's just what falling in New York is, but sure.
Just keep Woody Allen far away from that.
Ugh, fucking hell.
Oh, boy.
There we go. Now the mood has been properly cleansed.
Anyway, number 18, Floating Points, Pharoah Sanders, and the London Symphony Orchestra with Promises. I really need to dive into Floating Points at some point.
Okay.
Number 17, FKA Twigs with Magdalene.
Okay, I think I have listened to this one before, but I think, yes, it's 2019, so I know it was like a November release, so. So yeah, that must have been around the time, but yeah, I listened to this tape before. Was that fun? Okay, it's not too shabby.
Number 16, Lana Del Rey. Did you know that there's a tunnel under Ocean Boulevard? I have not listened to this one. I've listened to exactly one Lana Del Rey album in my life, and just eh. Number 15, All Vays with Blue Rev. Never listened to All Vays. Number 14, Billy Woods and Kenny Siegel with Maps. Yeah, that was a damn good one. Just Billy Woods spinning bars the way only he knows how, the weird production from Kenny Siegel. And also one of the best Danny Brown guest verses of the decade so far. Like that fucking went hard, dude. Number 13, ML Bush with Suntub. Never listened to it.
Okay.
Banger alert.
Number 12, Caroline Polachek, Desire, I Want to Turn Into You.
Yes. Let me say, well, this Karen Polachek sounds really good. That played that one song way too many times that I want to count.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. Let's see. Number 11, Big Thief, Dragon, New Warm Mountain, I Believe in You. Okay, can you put a little bit more punctuation there? I don't understand what that title is meant to say. Anyway, number 10, Waxahachie with St. Cloud. I've heard a bit of Waxahachie. Again, one of those artists that was in rotation when I was working at the station, but I don't think I've ever heard this album in full. Or a lot of her albums in full. I really gotta dive on down into that at some point. Number 9, Chuki Mamani Kondori with DJE. That is a name.
Okay.
Wait. The producer formerly known as Elijah Crampton. I swear to God, that name sounds so familiar to me.
Hold up. Yeah,
Crampton.
Wait, were they ever on an Adult Swim compilation?
I want to say yes, because I think I recognize that name, but I feel like I've heard it before.
I don't know.
Hang on. I'm going to look this up. Elijah Crampton, Adult Swim, Flora's Theme 2016. Holy shit. God damn, that was a while ago.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, there it is, yeah.
I did not realize the name change was in order.
Yeah, the Adult Swim Singles program. We miss it every single day.
A simpler time. Number 8, Rosalia, Motomami. Really, that high?
Yeah,
man, I liked it and all, but like top 10 of the decade so far.
Okay.
Did you want to interject, Alex?
I just want to do the next one.
Fair enough.
Oh.
Okay. I've not done one yet. This is not a list catered to me, but this one is. Number 7. Brat Summer in Overtime. Charlie XCX. Brat.
Let me just say, I finally listened to this album, and Charlie XCX, I greatly underestimated your game. I underestimated your ability to cook, as the kids say. And I want to point out something very funny. So I really like how the album kind of has like that beginning, middle, end motif with 360, rewind, and 365. And what kind of, I kind of had this funny thought, because like I'm pretty sure there's a lot of albums across a variety of genres that reflect a leitmotif through that specific like kind of track layout. Opening track, track in the middle, track the end. But the only album I could think of off the top of my head that I know for a fact did it in that exact same way, Periphery 2, This Time It's Personal. Did Misha Mansoor predict Brat Summer? This is the think piece I need on my desk tomorrow. That just means that we need a gent cover of Rewind. God, that song fucking bangs. Number 6, V's with Ganger.
Okay, this one I have heard about in small rap spaces, which again, this dude's from Detroit, which I'm guessing is from the description. It says basically, I guess I want to say drug rap, which I don't know, because then again, you got lean and pills and all that shit, which, okay.
Yeah. But now, here we are, in the top 5. Number 5, Beyonce with Renaissance.
Yep. And also, I want to add, hold up. fuck you, LeBron. Just fuck you.
Yeah. Y'all have learned nothing.
But you got a little bit of that stuff. Like, you know what? Stole more shit at night, and they were crying when we do it better?
Yeah. Discourse. Anyway, number 4, SZA, SOS.
Oh, okay, that high, huh? I'll go there, considering, you know, like, this was... considering how we wait for the album, which was nonstop, because at that came out, got singles, all success, which was good for her. Probably the one awesome top dog that's on the popular scale, which is, you know, up. But yeah.
Number 3, Cindy Lee, Diamond Jubilee. At some point, I'm going to have to sit down and listen to this one, because, oh my god, the amount of praise from all corners of the internet.
Okay. Hey, you know, I think I should do the next one, all right?
If you don't mind.
All right. Let's see. Number 2. Playboi Carti, Whole Lot of Red.
Get the fuck out of here.
Number two.
Really, guys?
This nigga number 2?
Keep in mind, part of the narrative of this album is that it took so long to fucking get released that Cardi literally got trolled by a meme rapper named Mario Judah, who we haven't fucking heard from since. Ayo, where the fuck is Mario Judah?
Oh, God. Yeah, like, we have established Cardi has not released anything good since... ever. What is this doing here?
There's like a song on here called Metamorphosis, where the hook is Metamorphosis! Metamorphosis! And him just hit the shot Metamorphosis for some reason. With Kid Cudi humming in the background, like saying Metamorphosis! 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 Like, that's why he's shutting out full synthesis all the time. Like, okay. But then again, I guess this is what all the rage kids were like, which Damn,
this is whack.
I think you come on. And it just occurred to me, no scare in the hose.
Nope.
There's no scare in the hose.
Pitchfork, and this list in and of itself at this point is scare in the hose.
And this, God. And right now, the 20 times remind me that, yeah, I'm old. I'm like, fuck, because I'm like, oh, boy. So, well, do you want to do number one?
Number one on the list. And, I mean, I guess it could have been a lot of things. There's been a lot of high-profile albums generating tons of discourse, but number one on this list, at least, is Fiona Apple with Fetch the Bolt Cutters.
Yeah, I get it.
I get it.
I get why Pitchfork put this one here. Again, what the fuck is Playboi Carti doing here this high?
I was going to say, because I think I remember when the album came out, like when we did the roundup episode, you were the main one that was talking about this.
Yeah, I talked about it mainly because the reviews were so glowing and high. Again, Pitchfork gave this a 10. I have the review up right now. They gave it a 10. Also, it was April 2020, and I just needed something to listen to that wasn't fucking Sam Smith.
Oh.
Or Sam Hunt, or whoever the Bad Country artist is.
Sam Hunt,
yeah. Yeah, that's the one who I ranted about that month.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I gave the album a listen at some point. It was interesting. I'm not sure it would be high on my year-end list, just because it's not, like, my thing necessarily. But to your point, I do, in fact, get it. So, there you go. Pitchfork's list of the 100 best albums of the 2020s so far. Again, no scare in the hose, list invalid.
So there's no scare in the hose. If you're talking about rap albums, there's no Alfredo. Let's see.
There was only, like, one metal album, too. It was like that whole Blood Incantation record. Like, come on. You gotta be telling me there had to be other, like, heavy stuff you could have thrown in there just to mix things up. Jeez. I don't know. That's just a me thing.
And also, they had one reason related thing on there. Like, I didn't see no West Side Gun on there, but then again, I don't know what Pitchfork, but writers actually give a shit about Griselda.
Also, no King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard either. Kind of surprised they drop a million of one things. I think one of them would have landed. Fucking Petrotragonic Apocalypse, motherfuckers. Anyway. Fuck, not even Imperial Triumphant. That seems like the kind of wild out there shit that Pitchfork nerds eat up. And trust me, I know. That album slapped. But that's neither here nor there. We're already at the end of this long list, and now there's just one last thing we gotta touch on. Now that we're done with all the news, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of October 11th, 2024. Starting at the top, we have the second full-length album from Chat Pile with Cool World. From the band Oransi Pazuzu, we have the album Muntau Tuja. From Touche Amore, we have their new album Spiral in a Straight Line. From the Japanese band Envy, we have their new album Unoya. From rapper Elucid, we have Revelator. From Glorilla, there's Glorious. From The Offspring, for some fucking reason, there's Supercharged. I should probably tell my roommate about this one. There's a new Jelly Roll album with Beautifully Broken. And while we're on the topic of Brat Summer, last but certainly not least, we have Charlie XCX dropping Brat and It's Completely Different, but also still Brat. That pretty much about does it for everything. Now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
This week, no arcs. I'm going to be busy, but just look for Xander's thoughts with the Beowulf icon on various platforms, wherever you go, on whatever form of Twitter you like to peruse. I just want to finish up so I can get to playing Sparking Zero, because I want to dig deep into it.
Fair enough. Mark, what about you?
Of course, I turn Mirror away. You can find me on my site, my hype1.com, where, of course, you know, anime season time, I'm reviewing, I'm of all the new anime coming out this season, and, what's over the highest highlight has been, we'll guess. And, yeah.
And as for me, you can find me in my home trying to survive Milton. Also on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me at robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo. Visit the website, sewerresolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good stuff. And of course, be sure to jump into our Discord so you can always be immediately notified whenever new things go up on the site. That'll about do it for this week. We're going to have to delay the album roundup because, obvious reasons. So yeah. That's probably going to be more next week, but there probably, hopefully, will still be the usual weekly business next week. So, yeah, stay tuned for all that. Thank you for listening, and until then, motherfucking Steel Ball Run in 2025! Let's go, gamers!